I'm going to talk this morning like I began last week about freedom, but you know that freedom isn't free. Let me say that again. Freedom, that sounds wrong, but freedom isn't free. Somebody pays a price for freedom, right? And in actuality, we not only pay a price for freedom, we have to pay a price to stay free. Because if you don't pay the price to stay free, the enemy, who's up here to kill, steal, and destroy, will come back to kill, steal, and destroy. Let me tell you. But not my house. Let me say that one more time. I don't know about you, but not in my house. Not in my church. Not in my country. Not in my state. I don't care what it looks like. He told me to come and occupy. And in order to occupy, I've got to remain free. I refuse to be bound. I'm just going to go through a couple of these definitions and then we'll go on. But to be free means to be freeborn and not a slave. Unrestrained, not bound by an obligation. I'm free. Anybody ever paid off a car? It's kind of like, woo, no more car payment. Let's get until the next one. But I'm free, right? I'm free from that car payment, right? Freedom is the state of exemption from the control of another. Thank you, Lord. Let me say that again. Freedom is the state of exemption from the control of another. Our country was born and built out of the fact that we no longer wanted to be under the tyranny of England. And so we got free. Watch this. We were freed when we were exempt from their control. We're exempt from slavery and we're free from confinement. If you go with me again to John chapter 8, and we're going to read this again. Verse 32, it was the one we quoted. But you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said this, it's in red. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Watch this. If we're not free, we have to back up and find out why we're not free. And part of the deal is, if we're free, if Jesus has truly set us free, and the Bible says, if I've set you free, you're free indeed. Anybody saved in here? Anybody know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? He said, if I'm free, then I'm free indeed. So it doesn't matter what situation you find yourself in, even if you're in a situation where you feel confined by something, in your spirit, you're free. That means no one can constrain me from the freedom that Jesus paid for me. But I must stand up in the truth. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But Jesus said, and again, going back up a few verses before, he talked to those who believed in him, and he said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You know, there's a difference between a follower and a believer. I mean, a follower and a disciple. A follower may not necessarily be free. But a disciple who knows the truth, how do you get to be a truth knower? You discipline yourself to hear. Over and over, Jesus said this. He said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Everybody that he spoke to had paddles on the side of their head, physical ears. And if they couldn't hear with him, he healed them so they could. But he wasn't talking about just the paddles on the side of your head. It's your heart and hearing in your heart, hearing with your heart. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's like, Lord, I want to learn to be that disciple because I want to walk in the freedom that you purchased for me, and I want that to be demonstrated so others can see it. Amen? And I believe the church as a whole and overall, we need to do a better job of displaying what freedom in Christ means. they need to see what's different about you. Well, I'm free. Yeah, but you're under the same bondage that we are. You're going through the same thing. You see the same news. You see, yeah, but I'm free. Why? Because I'm no longer of this world. I've been translated out of this world. And my kingdom isn't determined by what happens here. I'm already in heaven in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. I'm free. Say that with me. I'm free. Because Jesus has set me free. Come on. That is so good. It's so good. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And let's look at these verses. Hallelujah. Verse 15 says, but even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil is on their hearts. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know what that signifies? The veil was what separated the Holy of Holies from the rest. And people couldn't go back there except by the sprinkling of the blood of the Lamb, which we talked about. But do you remember again when Moses came down from the mountain and he spent 40 days in the presence of God? He had to put a veil over him because the people couldn't stand to see the glory that was on him. Right? A veil. In other words, the veil was what kept you out of the presence of God. But Jesus, watch this, Jesus paid the price where we can enter into the presence of God. In fact, I will tell you this, that you must believe that Jesus paid that price. And whether you feel it, you don't feel it, whether it seems like it's working or not, you have to acknowledge to yourself and in your heart that I am in the presence of God because of the price that Jesus paid. That veil of you not knowing what God desires and what God's plans are is taken away. How many of you ever thought, oh, I just wish I could hear from God. I wish I knew God's will. I wish I knew His plans. I wish, I wish. And you almost talk yourself out of the fact that He is willing to give you His wisdom. Yes. Right? But James says, you know, if you're having trouble, throw a party. My paraphrase, but James chapter 1. Because He gives liberally wisdoms to those who ask. But then He says, but don't come wishy-washy. Don't come declaring one minute I have it and the next minute I lost it. And the next minute it's good and the next minute it's bad. Stand in the faith or the confidence that you know that He who promised is faithful. Yes. And if He's faithful, the things that He's promised you are for you. In other words, I don't have a veil on my face or that's against me from keeping to get to God because of what Jesus purchased on the cross. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you or set you free. Glory to God. Freedom. We sing that song where the Spirit of the Lord is. We're going to read that here. Is liberty or is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is freedom. See, I want to create an atmosphere in this place where we can pray for people and they get free. And they stay free. But watch this. I believe God's will for you is to be free. Free from what? Anything that has you bound. Yes. I said anything that has you bound. Whether it's your past, right? Whether it's a limitation that others have tried to put on you. Whether it's an addiction, whether it's a sin, right, that you're just having struggles with, I believe He wants you to be free. Thank you, Lord. Sometimes we come up or we get prayer or we talk to God and the freedom doesn't happen right away in our time frame. And so we go back and we say, well, I guess that didn't work. Well, did the blood work? Let me ask that. Did the blood work? Did Jesus' blood work?
Yes.
Was it effective when he took the blood into the Holy of Holies, right? Yes. So whether I feel it or not, or whether I'm sensing it or not, I believe that when he took that blood into the Holy of Holies, it paid for my freedom. And so I'm going to stand on that no matter what. So how does that relate to all of us? When you come up for prayer on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, or even when you're praying with one another, and you say, well, man, I've been up there before, I've been prayed for before, but I go back and I get touched with it again. Listen, I don't care if you have to come up every time we meet for years. You come up with an expectation that Jesus has already paid the price for me, and the rest of us aren't tired of you coming up and asking for prayer.
Right?
We want to pray into you. We want to pray with you. Why? Because next week I might need you to pray for me. Hello? But we're looking at freedom in the house. I said, I'm looking for freedom in the house. And I don't care if you're a baby or if you're, you know, a senior citizen. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking down at the Bible right now. Hallelujah. Because he wants us free. What does he want us free from? The thief that kills, steals, and destroys. Anything that keeps you out of the abundant life that Jesus paid for you. Our freedom is paid for in Jesus. Let's go on here. Verse 17. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Or there's freedom. You know, in the Navy, and I was never in the Navy, and those who work can correct me, but they talked about liberty. And liberty is where you went to a port and they said, go out, boys. You have fun, but come back. Right? And sometimes there was no restraint on the liberty. And shore patrol had to go gather them back, right? But watch this. The liberty that Jesus wants for us is the liberty that contains us in the safety of what God has said to do, right? Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. There's freedom. I am free in Christ Jesus. I, like you, have been in situations where you don't feel free or it doesn't seem like freedom is working, but I'm going to stand on God's word no matter what.
Yes.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, and I'm free in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, there's in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. What does that mean? That means stand. I'm standing for freedom. I'm standing for that liberty that he paid for me. Life happens to me. I go through loss. I go through all the situations. But I refuse, absolutely refuse, to stay in the state of depression when God has set me at liberty from it. Hello?
Amen.
The enemy will always come to you and tell you how bad you have it. How hopeless it is. But I'm telling you, if you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you are not hopeless, you are not helpless, you are not at the end of the line. Come on. You're in Him, in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? I am standing for your freedom in Jesus' name. I said, I'm standing for your freedom in Jesus' name. Watch this now. But we all with unveiled face. Just say that with me. I have an unveiled face. Think about that for just a minute. We can't even imagine it, but this is the reality. If our eyes were open to the spirit realm and we were before the presence of God, he'd say, come on in because you're welcome here. Amen. Think about that for just a minute. Watch this now. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What does that mean? I come into His presence and I see Him as He is. I see Him as He is. I see Him lifted up. I see Him raised up. I see Him with the fact that He can just speak a word and universes are put out there, stars and planets, and they all work perfectly. That's the one that I can go before on a moment-by-moment basis because of the blood of Jesus, right? Watch this. We look into the mirror, the glory of the Lord, and this is just amazing. I'm transformed as I know that I'm outside of, you know, I don't have to have that veil. I can come closely in more and more and more and more. I'm being transformed into that very image that I'm beholding. What does that mean? As I begin to look at the liberty that He set me free from, I can love like He loves. I can forgive as He forgave. I can believe as He believed. I can act as He acts. I can affect other people like He affected other people. Hello? Somebody asked this the other day. I was listening to them and they talked about, God spoke to them and said, what would you do or what would you want if money was not an option, an object? In other words, if you had all the money in the world, right? We have a vision. Boy, I'd like to go, you know, man, I'd like to have enough money to get to Portland, right? I mean, that'd be great. But say, no, money's no option. Well, you know what I'd really like to do? I'd like to spend a month in Fiji, a month in, you know, and on, because money's not an option. If money was not an option, you could do whatever you wanted. His glory is without limits. His power is without limits. And we need to begin to see God and us in God for who He is and quit limiting Him in our lives. I'm listening to a series of messages by a particular author, and he talked about God spoke to him real strong. And this is, I think it's Psalm 175. I could be mistaken. But he said, God spoke to him and said, you've been limiting me. And I mean, this man had a ministry where he's on TV. He's got lots of things happening and got a huge, you know, a building for, but God said, you're limiting me. And he said, how am I limiting you, God? Because you don't see me as big as I am. Why am I saying this? Because your freedom is not limited by your ability to be free. You're limited by your ability to see how free He's made you to be.
That's right. Come on. Good word.
So when you begin to take that off and you go, Lord, you're available to me. I'm available to you. I am in your presence. Then you make yourself available. Lord, this is no big deal for you. This sin, this anger, this lust, this whatever it is, this unforgiveness, whatever it is, Lord, in your presence, in your glory, there is no big deal. And I am standing for the freedom that Jesus purchased for me. Come on, we need to take the limits off. Hallelujah. Freedom is conditional. We have to walk in His Word. We have to put ourselves in the place of discipline. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Y'all here tonight, today?
Amen.
Come on, you getting something this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. I want to spend some time in this and look. Most of you could probably quote some of these verses. In Proverbs chapter 3, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. I know people that have that, you know, on a sign, and they have it here and they have it there, but they don't walk in it at all. How do I know that? Because they're in anxiety. They don't know what they're going to do. They don't know how they're going to get through this mess or that mess. See, because when you trust in the Lord with all of your heart, there's no room for fear.
Amen.
Let me say that again. When you trust in the Lord with all your heart, there's no room for anxiety. I'm not saying that you don't have things that come at you that can cause anxiety. But when you trust that God's going to take care of you no matter what, there's freedom in your heart to be free from the worry about what's happening.
Hallelujah.
Trust in the Lord with all of your heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lean not on your own understanding. But Proverbs, the fourth Proverbs, and let's start out in verse 20. We're going to read some, and then I'm going to come back and comment on it. My son, or daughter, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all of your ways be established. Do not turn to it to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Right there is a container of how to walk in freedom. That's a container on how to stay in freedom. He started out with saying, watch this. He said, my son, attend to my words. I like this. Incline your ear to my saying. Have you ever seen or had or, you know, I get this picture of a grandma with this little active little three-year-old. And the three-year-old's running around causing havoc. And the grandma grabs that little boy by the ears. Boy, are you paying attention to me? Have I got your attention? And she starts to squirm and the squeeze gets a little bit further. Do I have your attention? See, we need to be over our own heart, the one who's squeezing the ears. And say, listen, Bruce, are you paying attention? Are you inclining your ear to what God has said, what God has promised, what He's declared? I need to look at what He's told me and then not turn to it at all, from it at all. Watch this again. My son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my saying. Do not let them depart from your eyes and keep them in the midst of your heart. How many have a Bible?
Yeah.
We have lots of Bibles.
Yeah.
We have this Bible. I have that. This is the one I use here. I have one on my desk. In fact, I have several on my desk. I have several on my phone. And that's awesome. But it's not the Bibles that you have that makes the difference. It's the Bible that you meditate on. Well, did you read the Bible? Yeah, I went to church on Sunday. What about Monday? Well, you know, I was running late. I got busy. What? No. It's time for us to get in the Word. I'll just give you an example from my perspective. I know in my heart that I've limited God and not enjoyed the freedom from financial things as I should. In other words, I believe that God wants to give me more vision to be able to handle more monetary things so that I can be more of a blessing to other people.
Yes.
Right? It's like in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that you having all sufficiency should be able to give to every good work. There have been times where I've wanted to give, but I couldn't give because I didn't have to give. Hello? But I believe God wants me to get a bigger vision on His provision so that I can be more of a blessing on what Right? And again, so look at that. It's like, what do I need to do? I need to get into the Word and find out what the Word says about that. And so I've been meditating. Lord, just show me a verse. I've got a Bible that's all underlined and all that. But show me a verse. Lord, you delight in the prosperity of your servant. I'm your servant. You're not withholding any good thing from me. And I'm not talking about being covetous, because all this is going to burn up anyway. But what I'm talking about is believing God for more. And believing God to be able to produce more for Him in the kingdom of God. So it's not just about money, it's about everything. What does that look like? Lord, you've used me in the word of knowledge before. And word of knowledge is simply knowing something that you shouldn't know because the Spirit of God reveals it to you. And I've had that on a personal level. I've had that on a more of a corporate level. I remember years ago, there was a man who came through our church, and he was another student from Raymond, but he's, you know. But God put on my heart, and I told him about three things. And he said, you know, you're the third person that's told me all three of those things. And he named the other two. What was that? That was just God putting on my heart a word for him to encourage him. Well, that's great in a church setting, and it's awesome. But how about at work? How about at the grocery store? How about what I'm saying is, God, increase our capacity to hear what you're saying. And then once you give it to me, Lord, this is the freedom to operate as God wants us to operate. It starts with meditating on His Word. Because our thoughts, watch this, our thoughts will keep us from His plans. When I say our thoughts, God speaks to us through our thoughts, right? Yeah. Right. God doesn't necessarily, when I say God speaks to me or God says something to me, I've never heard a voice. I've never even seen a vision. I've had a few dreams that I question, but the reality is when God speaks to me, He brings thoughts up into my mind that weren't there before. Right? But watch this. I need to meditate on those things. When God's dealing with me about something, I need to meditate on those things. Why? Because that's my door for freedom. Read this again. Watch this. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You just need to continue to meditate and meditate. Let me give you an example. I've given this example before. But I met a man years ago. His name was Don. And I just moved back up here from California. And Renita and I were living in Port Orchard in duplexes. And I didn't have any work. It was before I started work in the shipyard. I went to work putting in acoustical ceilings. You know, the ones that hang down and have the grid, all that stuff. And so we worked from Bellingham, you know, to Port. I mean, we were all over the place. But I was working with Don up in Bellingham at this hospital. And Don was a man that was probably 5'2" with his boots on. But Don, when he was growing up, had a small man's mentality. In other words, he thought because he was small, he had to prove himself to everybody. This is before Christ, before he came to the Lord. He said he would go into a tavern, a bar, and he'd pick the biggest guy in there to pick a fight with. And he said he never lost. And the reason that he never lost is because he never gave up. Knock him down 10 times, he's getting up 11. Right? But there was so much anger and rage on the inside of him. So Don gets saved. And Don says, you know, punching a big guy is probably not the thing to do anymore. But that rage was still in him, although Jesus paid for the freedom for that rage. So what Don did was, is he got 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's not just for weddings, the chapter 13, verses 3 through 8, and copied them down on a 3x5 card and out of the Amplified Bible and began to read that over himself. And when I say began to read them over himself, every time he had a meal, he'd thank God for the meal and then say, I'm patient, I'm kind, I'm not envious, I do not boil over with jealousy. On and on. He'd read the whole thing over himself. So that's three times a day, 365. What was he doing? He was not letting it depart from his eyes. He was seeing it. And then he was keeping it in the midst of his heart. Well, fast forward to when I was around Don, and that was probably 10 or 15 years after he began that. He was the most loving guy, the most caring guy, and everybody around him knew Don as one who knew the Lord, but the love of God emanated from him. His freedom from the anger and the rebellion and the fight was getting the word inside of him and saying, that's not who I am anymore. I am what God said. He became a disciple. He began to put the word on the inside of him, and it transformed him because he'd enter. See, every time you read the word of God, do you understand this, that you're entering into the presence of God? Let me say that again. Maybe over here they'll get it. Watch this. Every time you open your Bible and you begin to read, that's God speaking to you. That's God speaking to you. The Bible says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Without the Word, nothing was made that was made. And the Word became flesh. And so the Word, this Word that we have, is God speaking to us. So I don't have to have a feeling to be in the presence of God. I just need to open the Word. So Don was doing this, and he was over and over and over and again, that's not I who am, because this is what the Word says I am. He became a disciple of the Word of God, and it transformed him by being in the presence of God. Come on. Where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty. And we behold without a veil on our faces, but from step to step, we see God transforming us into who He's made us to be. Go with me to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And if I'm not free, watch this, I need to get back in the Word and say, okay, God, you're not the issue. You're not the issue. You've already paid for my freedom. So, Lord, but I'm going to stay in the Word. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue. How many have ever blamed God for anything? It wasn't His fault. Thank you for loving me. It wasn't His fault. He's paid the price for your freedom. He's paid the price. How many have ever said, Lord, I don't understand this. This isn't fair. Not from your perspective, right? But we don't know everything. I know we have all had loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, and some of them we go, Lord, but I was believing. I was, you know, how come, how come, how come? Well, first of all, I think that's kind of a wasted question, but I understand it. But the other side of that is that God knows the beginning from the end. Right? How come? Well, who knows how come? But the reality is, if they knew Jesus, they're with Him right now, right? And you're going to be with Him forever. This is years ago, but I was dealing with a family who had lost a younger child. And I said, God, this, you know, they were so young and we were believing, but it just didn't happen. And they went home to be with the Lord. And I said, Lord, And you know, just crying out. And this is what I felt inside. The Lord spoke to me and said this. He said, and these were the thoughts that came up. He said, you know, you look at things from your perspective. I look at things from my perspective. And from my perspective, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. So whether they die at 10 or 110, that's just a few seconds to me. Just a different perspective. That doesn't help us when we're left behind necessarily. But the perspective is God, I'm not looking at my life as the distance or the amount of time that I spend on the earth. That's just a short period in my existence, because I'm going to be forever and ever living with you. Just a different perspective. Freedom. Isaiah 26. I was going to start in verse 2, but I'm going to read verse 1. It says, in that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. You know, that's this day. I said, this is not the day when everything is returned. This is the day that the Lord has made. What is the day that the Lord has made? The day that the Lord has made is the one where Jesus came and paid the price for our sins. I'm living in the day of redemption. I'm living in the day of the Son of Righteousness. I'm living in the day where the Holy Spirit's dwelling on the inside of me. That's the day I'm living in. Watch this. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of the Lord. We have a strong city. Come on. You have to wake up in the morning. I've got a strong city. I'm sitting with Christ in heavenly places. God is my Father. I love Him. I praise Him. I worship Him. Verse 2, it says, open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps the truth may enter in. Watch this. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. He will keep. If you want freedom, then trust must be a companion that you carry with you at all times. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. I trust you, Lord. You know, faith and trust are really close together, but I don't think they're quite the same thing. Faith is, I believe you, God. I believe what you said. I believe it's for me. I have it now. I receive it now. But when things don't always make sense, when things don't go exactly like you think they should go, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I trust you, God. You've got my back. You've got my side. I trust you. See, if you want to walk in freedom, then you have to trust that God is with you and He's for you. Are you listening? I trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct my path. So I've got to guard my heart where this trust issue is. Hello? Because watch it. You can't trust Him and doubt Him at the same time. Now, your mind might be racing, and there may be all kinds of doubtful thoughts coming, but if you'll keep your heart where it needs to be, then you can say, oh, yeah, I know, I see all of that, but I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. Let me just give you an example of that I think that we can all identify with. Where our nation is right now is unfathomable to most of us. Because we grew up in a different time, in a different space. And what's normal now was not normal 40 years ago, 50 years ago. It wasn't normal. And some of the things that are being, you know, hailed as good, it's just like the Bible says, that there's coming a day when they'll call evil good and good evil. And we're living in that. And if you look at that, you go, oh my God, what's happening? But you see, trust in the Lord says, Lord, this doesn't move me, because I know that your word is true. I know that you're true. I know that you're with me. You're going to straighten all this out at some point, But Lord, I want to be free living in the midst of this chaos so that people can be attracted to the freedom that you bring, so that I can bring as many of those who are influenced by the time out of where they are into where you want to be. We are the answer for the chaos, but we must live in freedom in the midst of it. When Paul was writing, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty," he was probably writing that in a place where he'd either been beaten, he'd either been whipped, he'd either been thrown out of town, he'd either, been rejected by his own people. But he said, "The presence of God in me is the place of freedom." Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Watch this, verse 4. Trust in the Lord forever. When? We're living in forever.
Yes.
I know that's really deep. But we're living in forever.
Woo-hoo!
This was written thousands of years ago, but we're living in the forever. Trust in the Lord forever. Tomorrow is going to be forever.
Yes.
Next Tuesday will be forever. Come on. A millennium from now is going to be forever.
Woo-hoo!
So when do you trust in the Lord?
Forever.
So it's settled. Is it settled in you?
Woo-hoo!
Freedom will come when trust is established.
Thank you, Lord.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Glory to God. Glory to God. I like it. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord is the everlasting strength. Watch this. He's going to bring down what needs to be brought down. He's going to lift up what needs to be lifted up. I trust in God. I trust in my Savior. I trust in Him. And watch this. I need to know that there's freedom in Christ so that I can believe for freedom for you. So that if we're going to have to fight for that addiction to be broken off of you, if we're going to have to fight for those pain to be taken out of your body, if we're going to have to fight, I want to have a fight with people who are believing for freedom because they trust in God, not those who are going, "You never know what God's going to do." Right? Here's the line of demarcation for me as far as God goes. Jesus made it very clear. He said, "The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy." So anything that kills, steals, or destroys is in the thief's camp.
Yes.
But Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have that abundantly."
Woo-hoo!
Now, the life he was talking about is not the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 360. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the internal life that he's placed on the inside of you. I have the life of God on the inside of me. I have the love of God on the inside of me. I have the power of God residing on the inside. I have the wisdom of God at my disposal. I have God living on the inside of me. And it's not just a little bit. It's abundant. It's abundant. It's abundant. It's like rain in March in Seattle. It keeps pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring because His life is in us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is freedom. There is freedom. Next week we're going to talk about a few of the things that steal our freedom. Right? Because if we can recognize what they are, then we can combat against them. But don't sit at home in your thoughts meditating on how bad things are. Begin to meditate on what God has produced through Jesus in you. I was talking with Donnie just the other day. And I was telling her, I said, I'm blessed. And my life is happy. I'm a happy man. Right? I'm not saying that everything always, you know, is perfect for me. My body aches and some other things are going on, but I choose to be happy. But I talk as if God is really with me and He's for me and He saved me and He loves me. And so rather than concentrating on the wrong things, I begin to meditate on what's right. In fact, I refuse to meditate on my disappointments. Why? Because I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. You know, have you ever had this thought? Man, if this is a dream, don't wake me up. This is good. God is good all the time. I'm operating in the goodness of God. I'm operating in the fact that He said He'd never leave me nor forsake me. He'd be with me to the end of the day. I don't always feel like it. It doesn't always, you know, not everything works out perfectly the way I imagine them. But I know that 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 He's with me. How do I know that? Well, first of all, He said it. Second of all, He's demonstrated it to me over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Come on. Because He is my Father. And I can go to Him without a veil. I can go right before Him and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank You that You're with me. There's pain in my body. There may be a drain in my finances. My kids might not be talking to me. And God, some of that's probably my fault. But I'm not going to even look to that right now. I'm just looking to You because You're my way out. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Jesus paid the price for me to be free in You, and I will stand on it and in it in Jesus' name. Amen? Y'all get anything this morning? Hallelujah. I've said this before, well, what are you going to do about it? Come on, what are you going to do about it? Because it's not the truth, watch it. It's not the truth that you hear necessarily, it's the truth that you walk in. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free if you walk in it. So when the thoughts come for the negative, begin to talk about what God has done in your life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for all those that are watching online and those who couldn't be here today. I ask You to be with them. I ask You to touch them. I thank You, Lord, that those who are afflicted, those who are in pain, those who are even tormented with different things of their past, God, I thank You that it's Your will for them to be free. And I speak through the authority of Your word and the position of pastor in this flock. For all of those who are here and are watching online, I speak freedom over you right now in Jesus' name. Lift your hands wherever you are. Just lift them before God right now and say, Lord, thank You for the freedom. Thank You for my freedom. Thank You for anxiety leaving. Thank You, Lord. I trust You, God. I trust You, God. I trust You. Thank You, Jesus, for saving me. Thank You for being with me. Thank You. Your joy, Lord, is my strength. I just want to honor You and praise You right now. And I refuse to entertain any thoughts to the contrary. I give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, ask Him to become Lord of your life. Yeah. Amen. We all need Him. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming. I don't see John up here, so we'll end this way. But if you need prayer, please come up. Amen. Please come up. Well, here he comes. Just please come up and get prayer right now in Jesus' name. Janine will be up here. Others will be up here to pray with you. See, the Bible says, now watch this. The Bible says the believer will have signs following him. Amen. Or her. Amen. Will have. Not should have, might have, will have. Yeah. And so they'll lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Yeah. Demons will flee. Yeah. Right? Those that are bruised will be set at liberty. Right now, I believe God for a move of His Spirit. continuing in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thanks for coming.
And open the floodgates of